We're looking forward this morning to having Joe be baptized, and I will reduce the amount of time I spend on this sermon so that those of you who are visiting from other places can have time to stay and share with us in this experience of having the Lord add another to his church. So I hope you will stay for that baptismal service. In between the Bible class and church, I get to visit with different people from other places. I'd like to mention one family we have with us, Scott and Lauren Foster. They and three of their children are with us today. They have two other children. Their son, Michael Foster, is a missionary in Mexico City. And their daughter, Cephalie Foster, is in the AIM program with the Sunset International Bible Institute that we support individually and also that we give to as a congregation in support of our mission efforts in other places. And we're glad to have the Fosters. Stand up, please, the Foster family with us. And it's wonderful to know that young men are going forth as missionaries and that we have the chance to support them in that. I was explaining to Lauren Foster that in December we will have Mission Sunday. And that's an annual event in which this church will contribute on Sunday for special missions. Usually we have at least four. And one of those is the Sunset Institute, International Bible Institute, in their solar ministry that takes the gospel to all parts of the world, even where electricity is impossible. And so we'll be having that ministry supported in a few weeks with our offering. And we pray a blessing upon their son and their daughter who have chosen to be missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm encouraged because that shows the life in our brotherhood when families are doing that. This morning our subject will be based on Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs is a wonderful study. It tells us that it is a wonderful study for the acquiring of a disciplined life, attaining wisdom and discipline, and doing what is right and just and fair. It is for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. And the wise should listen and add to their learning and let the discerning get guidance. That's the prologue to the book of Proverbs, and it means that young or old need to study this book quite often simply to understand and to get wisdom. Our particular reading is in the sixth chapter of Proverbs, and it's the reading beginning with verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush and do evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Haughty eyes. I guess that's a phrase that is in place of the word pride or the word hubris. And he says that the Lord hates a person who has the haughty eyes. But I find that people like people who have haughty eyes, that we are attracted to people who are so filled with pride and hubris. It is a surprise to me that Christians oftentimes idolize people who exhibit the traits of pride that the Lord has found so detestable. C.S. Lewis once wrote that the essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, anger and greed and drunkenness and all that are mere flea bites in comparison to pride. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. And why we are attracted to people who are filled with such boastfulness is a mystery to me. And that's why I thought that it would be well for us to remind ourselves that the very first thing that the Lord hates, the very first thing that he detests, is human pride. In fact, the Bible is so mindful of the fact that human pride not only destroys the individual, but nations have been ruined because it has become so prideful, so boastful, and so proud. You might, I was reading Ecclesiastes this week about the city of Sodom, and of course, you and I have already a reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and we could probably name it, but the prophet Ezekiel says something in addition to that. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel said about Sodom, Ezekiel 16. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. What is this sin? Not homosexuality that destroyed it as much as this sin. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. Have you ever thought about Sodom being destroyed for that reason? And Ezekiel goes on to say, they were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. Nations have fallen throughout history because it was so filled with haughty eyes that it led to destructive paths. The reading in the book of Daniel about the fall of Nebuchadnezzar for a period of time, he was warned. The prophet Daniel said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, I hope that you'll change your ways because the Lord has told you the path that your arrogance and your haughty eyes is leading you. And he's warned you, and he says, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then that your prosperity will continue. But King Nebuchadnezzar had such haughty eyes, he disregarded entirely the word of the prophet. And then we read in the fourth chapter of Daniel, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, after Daniel had spoken to the king, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what I decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. It sounds to me that he had a mental breakdown, doesn't it, to you? And 7 times passed before he came to his right senses. And what caused that? So much hubris and pride and haughty eyes. I remind you also of how the New Testament explains the death of King Herod in the book of Acts. King Herod this is chapter 12, was brought to settle some problems between Tyre and Sidon. And then the Bible says in chapter 12 of Acts, then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now had joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. And on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat under the throne and delivered a public address to the people. And they shouted, "The voice of a god, not of a man." Flattery. I didn't know that political leaders like to be flattered so much. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. Now, the autopsy would not have used that language or that cause of death. There is a report of his death, and he died of stomach problems. But the scripture gives us the real reason. He didn't give God glory, and God took him away. Haughty eyes is such an abomination. The strangest thing to me in reading in the New Testament is how religious people get caught up with people who are so prideful and boastful, even in the church. If you read carefully the book of 2 Corinthians, there is a part of that book where Paul has to defend his apostleship and defend his legitimacy to the church at Corinth, which is amazing. He established that church. He's the one that went and planted that church. And later some people came along who disputed his authority, who cast doubt upon his rightfulness as an apostle. And listen to the conflict that as he tries to defend his apostleship to the very people that he had baptized and started the church with. He says, "In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face." Now, isn't that strange that even in the church then, they had men who were so boastful and prideful, and the members just fell at their feet? When they had all the obvious signs that God would disapprove of their behavior, their attitude, nonetheless, the people fell at their feet. He says, they can even slap you around, and you trust them more than me, the apostle who started you, that church. That's an amazing thing about human nature. In the third letter of John, a short letter, it speaks of a church leader who had become fixated with haughty eyes. He says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. And not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so, and he puts them out of the church." So arrogance is not only a problem in secular life. In the church sometimes, we have situations in which people are afflicted with the haughty eyes and they do very destructive things. But the warning to us in Scripture is that it all leads to final collapse. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty eyes before a fall. Well, that's only one, but it's maybe the first and the most important lesson, that we are to remain mindful that we are subject to God in all things. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit. before a fall. We're going to sing the invitation hymn if anyone else would like to come forward either for prayer or also to confess their faith in Christ to be baptized this morning. While we stand.
We are truly honored today to be able to witness a baptism, one being added to the church. And what I'd like to do is just a closing prayer concerning Alan's sermon, and one in walking humbly. Scripture dictates to us that we are to walk humbly before our God. And as we walk humbly before our God, we walk humbly before other men. And knowing that, then what happens is that others see us and want to emulate us. So why don't we have a prayer, and we'll have this confession. Joe and Jocelyn, would you please come up front? And your name, sir. Prayer. Precious Lord, we humbly approach your throne of grace. We ask Heavenly Father for a prayer for our dear brother who asked for strengthening for himself and his family. We ask Heavenly Father that his strength and faith be manifested by his goodwill to others. And understanding that God is always by your side. You will never be alone. As God says, he's an ever-present helper. He will always be there for you. Okay, and understand that for you and your family. Brother Joe,
sir,
you're a candidate for baptism. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Sir, on the basis of that confession, many have died, but so very many have found new life. Have found a life in Christ and a life well worth living. So by that confession of faith that you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, you're now a candidate for baptism, and we'll conduct that service in a very short moment. Heavenly Father, we just continue to thank you for these dear brothers, that they have come forth, Heavenly Father, to dedicate themselves to you and to ask of you, Heavenly Father, those many blessings that only you can bestow. We know, Heavenly Father, that those who come seeking, you will answer. We ask, Heavenly Father, for those in the audience today, that their strength be manifested in the way that they live their lives and extend themselves to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Jocelyn, you want to come up front? So let me encourage you, everyone that can, please stay for the baptismal service. Jocelyn, you can come up to the front.